That's what we do in prayer. In prayer, we're not trying to, because it's an impossibility, but many have the wrong idea, not necessarily here. Prayer is not about changing God. God cannot be changed. Prayer is about finding God's will for us or whatever the situation might be. The blessed life is the habit of reacting by prayer to life and its issues. How much easier our lives would be if it was our habit to react to the happenings of life by turning our face toward the Lord and seeking God in prayer. That would be our reaction. Not our fifth reaction after we've done four other things, but that would be our very first reaction. If we can form that habit in our life, if that becomes the habit of life, of course we're going to have some failings along the way, but if that becomes our habit of life, that's a blessed life. That's an enjoyable life. So the blessed life is, of course, being in the proper spirit, the proper frame of soul to pray. We must stay right with God so that we are able to pray. I don't know if there's anything more miserable for a child of God than to know that you need to pray and for some reason can't. The more that our life is shaped by a conviction of who God is, the more we are shaped by the conviction of who we are, the more we will pray. The more convinced we are of who God is, the more convinced we are of our own frailties, the more we will pray. So God is a God who hears the prayer of His people. That is an amazing fact. That is something that ought to fill us with joy. That God is a God who hears the prayers of His people. Notice in Psalm 3, we'll look at several verses quickly. We're not going to make comment. We'll try not to anyway. And just read these verses. But notice God in each of these verses hearing the prayer of His child. Verse 4, Psalm 3, I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and He heard me out of His holy hill. Psalm 6, verse 8, verse 9, depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity, for the Lord hath heard the voice of my weeping. We'll make a comment there. Not necessarily words, but weeping has a voice. And God interprets that. The Lord hath heard my supplication. The Lord will receive. What a blessing. The Lord will receive my prayer. Not just hear it, but receive it. Psalm 28, verse 6. Blessed be the Lord, because He hath heard the voice of my supplications. Psalm 30, verse 2. O Lord my God, I cried unto Thee, and Thou hast healed me. God responded to his cry. Psalm 34, verses 4 through 6. I sought the Lord, and He heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto Him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. Psalm 40, verse 1. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me. It's a picture of one bowing their ear. He inclined unto me and heard my cry. Psalm 65, verse 2. O thou that hearest prayer, that's just a statement of fact concerning God. O thou that hearest prayer. Psalm 99, verse 6. Moses and Aaron among his priests, and Samuel among them that call upon his name. They called upon the Lord, and he answered them. Psalm 116, verses 1 and 2. I love the Lord, because he hath heard my voice and my supplications. Because he hath inclined his ear unto me, therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. Because he is a God that hears, therefore I will cry unto him. Psalm 138, in verse 3. Psalm 138, verse 3. In the day when I cried, thou answerest me, and strengthenest me with strength in my soul. So with all of that in mind, the psalmist prays fervently in Psalm 119, verse 145. Hear me, O Lord. It had been his experience for God to hear him, and he desired for God to continue to hear him. What a blessing it is when you pray and you know that God has heard. That God has heard. And to live life that way, again, is a blessed life. That is a happy life. When you cry unto God and you know he has heard. But the psalmist prays here, hear me, O God. So the blessed life is knowing that God hears our prayers. But that request, hear me, O Lord, indicates that it was his habit to speak unto God. It indicates that it was his habit to commune with the Lord. And therefore, he asked God to hear him. But it is also indicative of an individual who it is his desire to be blessed in prayer. To be blessed in prayer. Again, to be blessed in prayer is to know that God has heard. That God has received the prayer. So when he prays, hear me, O Lord, and again that word, O, shows intensity. Once again, hear me, O Lord. He's asking God to bless him in prayer. Now, there are several places in the Word of God where it is declared that God will not hear prayer at times due to sin in his people. In Psalm 66, Psalm 66, verse 18. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Now, many have made that verse say more than it says. It does not say, If I have sin in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. If that were the case, there'd be no need to pray. It says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. That is, you know you have a specific sin, and you do not deal with it. It says the Lord will not hear. Now, I've heard this preached, that any time we regard iniquity in our heart, the Lord will not hear. Well, that's not so. Because notice what it says in verse 19. But verily, God hath heard me. God is merciful. There are times when even when we regard iniquity in our heart, God hears. But do not be mistaken. There are times if you regard iniquity in your heart, God will not hear. He says, but verily God hath heard me, he hath attended. There it is again, he's given attention. He hath attended to the voice of my prayer. And then he gives the glory to God. Blessed be God, which hath not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me. So he's not saying I'm innocent of verse 18, if I regard iniquity in my heart. He's saying God heard me, and it was due to the mercy of God. Be careful of making a verse say more than it says. It doesn't say every time you regard iniquity in your heart, because once again, I believe that's almost all the time. It doesn't say that as long as we do that, he will not pray or he will not hear, because verses 19 and 20 state otherwise. But realize the danger of regarding iniquity in your heart. The Lord may not hear. The Lord may not hear. Proverbs chapter 1. And if you want to get depressed, you pray and pray and pray, and God doesn't answer, and if that'll do it. Proverbs 1:28, then shall they call. You've been describing the wicked. Then they shall call upon me, but I will not answer. I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. There's a danger. There's a danger. Someone will say, well, all you have to do is seek God. Well, that's not what that verse says. It says they'll seek me early, but they won't find me. God's turned away. Proverbs 28, verse 9. He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law. Turn away your ear from hearing the word of God, even his prayer shall be abomination. One disregards what God's word says, his prayer becomes an abomination unto God. That is, it's offensive to the Lord. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 15. And when you spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Then, of course, very familiar passage, Isaiah chapter 59 and verse 2. He makes a statement in verse 1 that God's hand is not shortened, neither is ear heavy that it cannot hear. In other words, God is not incapable, God is not deaf, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God. That's what sin does. And your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not that he cannot, that he will not hear. In Micah, book of Micah, chapter 3, and verse 4. Then shall they cry unto the Lord, but he will not hear them. He will even hide his face from them at that time, as they have behaved themselves ill in their doings. Zechariah chapter 7. Again, all of this serves as a warning. We thank God that he's merciful. We thank God that he's long-suffering. But these are warnings. Zechariah chapter 7, verse 13. Therefore, it has come to pass that as he cried, and they would not hear. So God cried unto them, God spoke unto them, but they would not hear. They turned a deaf ear to God. So they cried, and I would not hear, saith the Lord of hosts. It's a dangerous thing to turn a deaf ear to God. So the psalmist, realizing all of this, prays, hear me, O Lord. So is he not praying for unbroken fellowship with God? These are the words of one who fears the severing of fellowship with God. Fellowship with God can be marred. The Bible teaches that very clearly. Notice in Isaiah 64, Isaiah chapter 64 and verse 7. Isaiah 64, verse 7. There is none that calleth upon thy name, that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee. For thou hast hid thy face from us, and thou hast consumed us because of our iniquities. Fellowship with God had been broken, had been severed. In the book of Hosea, chapter 5, verse 6, then shall they go with their flocks, with their herds, to seek the Lord, but they shall not find him. He hath withdrawn himself from them. Fellowship has been severed. John 15, verses 8 through 10, Jesus teaches the same thing, that we must abide in him. Fellowship must remain intact. In 1 John chapter 1 and verse 6, 1 John 1, verse 6, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. We have the privilege of having fellowship with God. Prayer is a form of that fellowship. And the blessed life is a life of fellowship with God. Fellowship, of course, conveys the idea of companionship. What a blessed life to be in companionship with God. It implies friendship. Abraham was called the friend of God. And then, of course, God is our friend. It implies togetherness. It implies sharing together. It is you and I speaking to God, sharing with God whatever is on our heart, and it's God sharing with us whatever it is that we need at that hour, and he's the one who knows. So there is such a thing as fellowship with God. Now, if we believe that, certainly everyone here does, if we believe that, that there is such a thing as fellowship with God, then certainly that is something that we ought to always long for. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9. God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. There are times that we are unfaithful, many times. But thanks be to God, He's faithful. And fellowship isn't broken every time that we are unfaithful, because God is merciful. But there's a danger in being unfaithful. Now, correct myself a little bit. Every time we sin, we do lose some degree of fellowship with God. But it's not necessarily completely broken, severed. 1 John 1. I know we're looking at a lot of verses, but 1 John chapter 1, we see again that there's such a thing as fellowship with God. 1 John 1, verse 3. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. That's fellowship with one another. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Verse 7. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. What a wonderful phrase, one with another, when you consider God and yourself. One with another. We have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Sin breaks fellowship. Sin severs fellowship. But God in His faithfulness, God in His mercy, God in His grace, has provided a remedy for that as well. So, fellowship, there is such a thing as fellowship. When the psalmist prays what he prays here in Psalm 119, verse 145, he's speaking of fellowship. Fellowship with God includes a lot of things. It includes a personal knowledge of God. It includes a personal experience of God. You cannot have fellowship without a personal experience. It also included in that is a nearness to God. So it is our privilege to experience God. It is our privilege to draw near to God. It is a sharing with God. Again, a friendship with God. This fellowship with God involves us speaking with God, and God hearing us, God responding, and God speaking to us, and we hearing Him and responding to Him. It is responding to one another in a positive way. Fellowship with God, that's where we find assurance. There's a lot of assurance in fellowship with God. Just time alone with God will fill your heart with assurance. This is where we find comfort. The comfort that only He can give. We're not talking about just any kind of comfort. We're talking about the comfort that only God can give. We find it in fellowship with the Lord. So it's no wonder the psalmist prayed, "Hear me, O God." He doesn't want fellowship to be broken. He realizes the importance of this fellowship. Fellowship with God, that's where we find conviction. The more we're in fellowship with God, the more we're convicted about His person. The more we're convicted about His Word. Fellowship with God, we find wisdom. Fellowship with God, we find victory. Fellowship with God, we find fulfillment. And this is where we find that spiritual desires are developed, they are fed, and they are nourished. Spiritual desires grow, and spiritual desires are developed just in simple fellowship with God. Fellowship with God is an abundant life. I mean, it just doesn't get better on this earth than a life in fellowship with God. It is a resurrection life. And the blessed life is a life of everyday fellowship with God. So the psalmist prays, "Hear me, O Lord. Hear me, O Lord." He desires that fellowship with God. So, again, the blessed life is a life of striving for what God has for us, striving for who God is, moving in the direction of God. That's how you keep, that's how you maintain fellowship with God. You just keep moving in the direction of God. You just keep moving toward Him. No matter what's going on, no matter what circumstances are, just keep moving in the direction of God. You cannot go wrong if you just keep moving in the direction of God. So the blessed life is a life lived with a heart for God. A heart for God. There's joy there. There's happiness there. Just having a heart with God, for God. And having a heart for God, we will live unto Him, and we will live a life to Him. In other words, it's realizing that life is all about Him. That's the blessed life. Once you come to that realization that it's all about Him, you're well on your way to living the blessed life. But you have to come to the realization of that truth. It's about Him. It's about Him. No matter what's going on, no matter what day it is, it's about Him. The blessed life, such a life we are called to live. We are responsible to live. We have the opportunity to live. And God has provided everything that we need that we can live this life. So once again, all that we would experience, Psalm 119. Experience the life of Psalm 119. That is a blessed life. Brother Tim, if you'd come and lead us verse 1.